Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Welcome back to my channel again. So I'm looking at Russia's campaign in Ukraine in its illegal war of unprovoked invasion, which has been going on for over a year right now, and its illegal occupation of over 10% of Ukraine's sovereign soil. And Bakhmut is the focal point of the war at the moment. Bakhmut being a city which had a pre-war population of some 70,000 souls. It's located in the Donetsk region, Donetsk district, I should say, which is part of the Donbass region. Anyway, the Russians have been attacking there since July last year, but its attacks have intensified, and this really has become the vortex of the whole war. So some Western pundits were sounding alarm about ammunition production, but really Western ammunition factories were just simply not turning out enough shells to keep the Ukrainians supplied. I think they were right to sound that alarm. And Western governments had dipped into their own stocks of their own militaries to supply the Ukrainians. They couldn't dip in too much. Otherwise, if a war broke out, they would run out of ammunition very quickly because it can be fired far faster than it can be produced. Like that HIMARS factory in Arkansas, being the only one in the world for the rockets, for the HIMARS rockets. And they said they could double production last year, but it might take up to 18 months to do so. The Russians have speeded up production of, operating some factories 24/7. And as they say, that wars often come down to something as bland as ammunition production. So this is warfare is something which is industrialized. It's often just numbers. I mean, I know there's interoperability or whatever, or maneuver and troop morale and these military genius, but it's also numbers. How many shells have you got? How many bullets have you got? How many whatever equipment? How many of things do they have to fire? And the Ukrainians were firing 6,000 shells a day, which is more than Western industry could supply. Anyway, so Russia's Wagner Group, this private military company, these mercenaries, they're crucial to the battle. And of roughly 200,000 Russian troops in Ukraine, about 50,000 are Wagner. And Wagner's run by Yevgeny Prigozhin, Putin's friend. Quite how close they are is disputed. But he's also from St. Petersburg. He's 9 years younger than Putin. Some people have even said he might be a successor to Putin. I think that one far-fetched myself. But anyway, Wagner has certainly been important in the Russian campaign. How important is something which is contestable. But Yevgeny Prigozhin has been bitterly complaining in public for a few weeks now, and presumably for longer in private, that his fighters are not getting the munitions they need. I hesitate to call them soldiers. That obviously that these defense manufacturing companies, they got direct links to the military Ministry of Defense, which supplies the army, the navy, the air force. And then way down the food chain, lowest priority is Wagner, private military company, which is obviously a profit-making business for Prigozhin. Remember, Prigozhin for years disclaimed any connection with it whatsoever. He initiated defamation lawsuits in England against journalists who reported the truth about him. And for the last few months, he's been bragging, yeah, sure, I'm the head of Wagner. But things are going badly. And it might be desperation that drove him to do this. But just yesterday, he went on social media and he said that not enough ammunition has arrived. Some ammunition was supposed to come on the 23rd of February. It still hasn't arrived. Here we are, 5th of March. And is it bureaucracy or is it betrayal? He feels he's being undercut. Now, it might not be high treason, but it's that some people in the Russian military establishment do not like him, seeing as a loudmouth, someone who's actually never been in the military himself, who's egomaniacal, who's selfish, who's just in it for the money and so on, or envious of his relative success, and he has had some success, think that he's got the ear of Putin too much, would rather see him fail, think that he's a glory boy, he's stealing the credit from the official Russian army. So there's some unhealthy inter-service rivalry, even though Wagner is actually not part of the Russian military officially. Now, mercenaries are illegal in Russia, but Wagner has operated openly since 2014 and was indeed registered recently in St. Petersburg, saying it's to do with logistics and stuff like that. So I've got his own children's sports club. I know it's sick. They've been fighting in Mali and Mozambique and Libya and Syria and the Central African Republic and other places. They were registered in Hong Kong and things like that some years ago. They're not even all Russian fighters. They'd recruited Ukrainians who are pro-Russian for some years, Belarusians, Serbians, and more recent years, Syrians, this war, Kyrgyz, Tajik fighters, you know, often these poor Gastarbeiter in Russia, people from prison, pressurized, even tortured into joining it, and just cannon fodder, just thrown into The maelstrom with minimal training, it said he only with shovels in a few cases, just to be shot to draw enemy fire. So that they're so poorly equipped. And that's not just callousness, is honestly because it's incompetence of the army wanting to fail to some extent, because they want to be the ones to succeed and not Prigozhin. Because Prigozhin, perhaps unwisely, was saying that his men would take Bakhmut. So he would claim this victory. And they say that the Wagner fighters are very seldom treated for their wounds, even when they are treatable, even when they could be quite easily saved. I mean, I suppose it doesn't have its own medical corps. Maybe only the army has that, and the army doesn't give a damn about them. Wow. So it might come down to that. Clearly, there are some munitions problems. There have always been logistic problems with the Russian army, not just in this war, but for centuries. So this is the longest running battle of the war, the bloodiest battle of the war. It's thought that at least several thousand people have been killed. And Russia's trying to encircle the city. I mean, only a couple of weeks ago, Prigozhin said it might take to the end of April before they take the city. I don't think anyone doubts that Russia is going to take the city, but is it worth it? There's rather a sunk cost fallacy. They put so much into the city. They've invested with such importance that they fail to take it. It'd be such a psychological setback. And the trouble is that also makes the Ukrainians desperately want to hold on to it. But the Ukrainians say, well, you know, now we've bled them white. Should we just withdraw before our troops are cut off? And is it worth it? You know, we've inflicted as many casualties as we can. Let's withdraw now before we start suffering too many ourselves. So long as they've got a new line of defense prepared. But the trouble is an orderly retreat could turn into a rout. Anyway, so it's been speculated by the Institute for Study of the War that Ukrainians are carrying out a tactical withdrawal. As we're not sure that's the case. There's only one bridge across the river connecting Bakhmut to the rest of Ukraine. It's been damaged, and Ukrainian engineers were desperately striving to repair it under fire. Of course, there are amphibious vehicles to supply the city, but that's not as easy as simply going over a bridge. So Yevgeny Prigozhin said that if he doesn't receive enough fighters and he doesn't receive sufficient ammunition, his forces will be unable to hold on to the territory they've taken, and the Ukrainians will be able to counterattack successfully. And indeed, the Russians will implode there. I wonder if that's actually a bit alarmist, but this is showing rising desperation on his side. How much of it is it malice from the Russian top brass, and how much of it is sheer incompetence? I expect more of it at the former, actually. Because obviously he's got his many foes in the Russian military establishment who wouldn't like to see him succeed, but they don't want Ukraine to succeed as well. But anyway, so he's trying to make this as an existential battle for Russia, that if Wagner pulls back from Bakhmut, the whole front will collapse, which again, I don't think is true, but it would be a bit of a psychological blow to Russia. So remember, last year, Russia laid claim to the whole of Donetsk and said it, but you know, they only control about half of Donetsk. So Bakhmut is actually not very important in itself. I mean, there's some roads and railway lines that can be blown up. There are a few salt mines, add some sort of wine industry, but the vineyards obviously been wrecked. So yeah, I mean, a city's been more than decimated, because they've been decimated months ago. Scarcely any of the buildings are undamaged. So economically, it's got really no value at all. It's said that he wanted to get his paws on that. So the Russian campaign is clearly going badly. This is the spring offensive. We're well into spring, and they're only inching forward, whereas Ukraine is preparing there. So wait for that in about 2 months' time, when the ground is dry and hard, when they've got more tanks and everything else. Thanks for watching. Goodbye.